My first question is.
Same one I got, go.
Then you get to go first.
Well, okay, they can hear us. You're recommending 65 million, so why aren't we going to the 75 million? But then when she said something, it was like, until you call it, and then it's like the fee's the same anyway.
Yeah.
So is that why you're only recommending 65 million, or what if we did put the extra 10 million in?
I'm more driven by the appropriate allocation amount than I am talked into an additional $10 million by a small fee break that's essentially, as I said, a loan, not a true fee.
Okay, and I trust you, and that's why I didn't ask them that, so.
Well, and that type of fee break, because it's on unfunded capital commitments, if we had, and they're round numbers, $100 million that sat around for 4 years before they called it all at the end of the fourth year, that would be a much bigger savings than we would likely ever experience, because we expect them to be calling capital all the time. So the
That mean, calling, like they want your money in the
right?
You already have, no, you already put it
in.
Yeah,
we don't send them a check once they call it over time to buy property.
So we're committing now, and then when they want the money, you better have it.
You don't give them
they've identified the property
right up front.
They go hard on their deal, and they say, okay, now we need the capital. They give us about 10 days to come up with the capital.
So is this thing that John brought up about this 50% catch-up, is that an enticement, an incentive? Everybody else does it too?
Everybody does it,
yeah.
Okay. And they'll do it in different percentages.
Okay. Is 50 a good percent?
It's a difference between dollars and percentage. I mean, they're going to get the same 20% of the money regardless of...
Well,
if somehow they didn't get it.
Let's be honest, there is a success element here as well. So 50-50 is...
Yeah, they're in the business to make money too.
Mm-hmm. Obviously, if they're high enough to recapture all their 20%, either way, it doesn't make any difference.
Right.
It's only when they don't.
Right.
Right.
It's when they're somewhere between 9% and 29%.
Right. Were you okay? I'm sorry.
Oh, go ahead, Jerry.
I was wondering if you guys were okay with the answer on leverage. It seemed to be, we do it as if it's going to go up. I'm not exactly sure what that means.
So I think part of the question there was about the level of leverage.
Yeah.
And your point was well taken. You know, since when is modest leverage half?
Yeah.
Well, it's modest relative to the peer group. It's kind of like saying a homeowner who puts down 25%. Uh-huh. Has more equity than standard. They still don't have a whole lot of equity in the house, but more than standard. So, I mean, the round numbers for the levels of leverage that are considered, quote, industry standard for core, it's 0 to 35%. For value add, call it 50 to 65%. For opportunistic, 60 to 75%. And that's, kind of the realm. Those numbers migrated up through 07, they migrated back down. Most everybody has been on the lower bound of that leverage historically.
One statement you made in here, is a significant one, I think. Angela Gordon may not be able to profitably execute an opportunistic real estate strategy if it's unable to get favorable financing terms for the portfolio properties. I agree. And he said, when they go up, we expect them to go up fast.
Yeah.
So it sounds like they're going to rapidly get into an area where they're not going to be able to get favorable terms.
Well, and the question is going to be how much of their overall results are predicated on current interest rates.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Reed was trying to make the point during the presentation that they're actually accreting value, they're not financial engineering. So the financial engineering, the leverage is great, but it's the kicker on top of what they actually create in value on the property level. So if interest rates rise, you're going to see them deliver lower than their expected rates of return.
I do like these guys, and I do like the idea, and I take them at their word, that they don't cross-collateralize on their leverage. I mean, if you're going to put
In the fund documents, yeah.
Yeah, if you're going to put the leverage on one property, okay, you run the risk of maybe having a problem with that one property, but if you put it across the entire portfolio, you got a bigger problem.
Yeah.
A much bigger problem.
The funds we invest in do not cross-collateralize, and they've extended terms on the leverage.
Okay. Thanks.
I mean, that way you get to a crisis. Well, let's say there's a crisis in a particular segment. You can send two or three properties back to the bank and focus on everything else.
Right.
And that's a lot of our managers did that in 07. There was a lot of properties that went back to the lender, and they focused on the things that they thought they could build value on, and then
if you've got to give up the basket, that's a real problem.
Yeah.
Part of this, when they're talking about the percentage of leverage, they're talking about percentage of leverage of their purchase price, which is their bank attempting to buy these assets at much lower than their actual value, and then be able to turn them. So when they turn them and the price appreciates, that leverage is actually goes way down. I mean, it may go, a 65 may go down to a 30 when the value of that property goes up after they make the improvements. But they're buying them, hopefully it's cents, a few cents on the dollar.
Right.
30 to 40 cents on the dollar, and leveraging on that lower price that they pay. So.
I should have asked him, I didn't want to take any more time, but what that means, what do you think his statement meant about we are operating as if rates are going to go up? What does that mean to you?
When they're talking about their underwriting of the property.
Right.
Well, they're putting together a pro forma statement, and they're saying, let's assume we don't actually get the current rate. Let's assume we can, you know, put leverage on at 2% higher than where it is today.
And it still makes
sense. Let's assume that when we go to sell this property, we don't get the current capital rates. We get a higher cap rate there for a lower purchase price. Let's go in with conservative assumptions.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. And that way you've got a wiggle room there.
I think these guys are very smart guys. I think they know what they're doing.
They are.
I'll move that we...
Do you want to separate the...
Yeah, why don't we separate them. Let's start with...
We have...
Since we've been discussing Angelo Gordon, why don't we take that one first?
I'll move that we... authorize $65 million to the Angelo Gordon Fund 9, Gordon Realty Fund 9.
I'll second.
Subject to all the standard due diligence and contract negotiations and
Scott,
everything.
We're both gone.
You get two votes.
I get two votes. I second twice.
Okay.
Any further discussion? Any comments, Tim or Jeff, with regards to that? Okay. All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Motion carries. Okay.